in which case what I'd like to do is to pick up, if we can, the main items and matters arising, because, again, I'm conscious of today's programme. First of all, paragraph 3.2 of the minutes. Again, an important topic, temporary uses of the sites in the new central harbour front. The harbour union, in fact, wishes to update us. We're going to have a short presentation, I think, from Winnie. And then members may wish to comment. I think Mrs. Lamb also may have something to add. So, Winnie, do you want just to brief us and update us? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. So this report will have two parts. Well, one part is on mainly on the progress of the advanced promenade, and the second part is on the proposed temporary use of the harbourfront sites. So on the advanced promenade, as you may be aware, that the footpath linking Tamer Park with the central piers and as well as the extension of the green carpet has already been opened, and the remaining works that is showing on the blue one will be completed at around early July, and then it will be hand over to LCST to prepare for the opening of the advanced promenade. And it is expected that the advanced promenade will be opened into the public in July or August, depending on the weather condition in the coming few weeks. And there will be a waterfront kiosk in the promenade, which will be operated by an NGO. So that's a quick report on the advanced promenade. So on the temporary use of the harbourfront site, we have looked into the development program under different scenarios of the central harbourfront sites, and that we expected that it would take more than 3 years before construction may start in these sites. So we should put sites 4 and 7 to be completed in around Q3 of this year into good interim use to enhance vibrancy of the harbourfront pending the permanent development. So this is how the sites look like. And I will go into each of these areas separately. So for the blue one, the area A, we intend to make it an entertainment site with an observation wheel and some ancillary facilities. The site is about 1 hectare in size. And members may remember that there is a whole organization which submitted a proposal of an observation wheel to the Hong Kong Task Force last year. And after that presentation, there are more than one competitive views on this site. So we have decided to make it an open tender, short-term tenancy for a specified use. And we will use a two-envelope approach that is not only competing on the monetary term for this site, to make sure that the key objective of enhancing the harbour front will be ensured. So about the areas D and E, which show on the picture, that it is, if members remember, this is the PPC site which we have talked about all the time. And we plan to make this an event site. It's about a 4 hectare in size. The site will be 4 hectare in size, which is a pretty big one. And we hope that this site will be used for event use and bring vibrancy and diversity of events to the harbour front. And the site can be open to the public when there is no events going on. And as we need to prepare for the STT arrangement, which will only take place like in the first quarter of 2013, so before that we will have arranged some events, and one of the confirmed one is the Symphony Under the Stars, which will be held in November 2012. And there may be possible temporary use from September to October before the concerts begin. And after the concerts, the site will be turned again into a work site, because we have heard from the operators that a hydro-seeded site will not be very useful for event use. But for the Symphony Under the Stars, because it's an outdoor concert, it can be used for that purpose. So we will invest some resources to upgrade the ground conditions as well as equip the site with some basic infrastructure within the existing resources that we have, and to facilitate event uses. And such works will be completed by the first quarter of 2013, which will tie in with the STT arrangement. For areas F and G, we are planning that there will be an open space, a temporary open space, and also a pet garden, which will be managed by LCSD. It will be a 1.5 hectare site. And area F, as shown in the site map, that it will be an extension of a green open space, which is passive in nature. And for area G, it will be suitable for a pet garden because we have identified some an exclusive access to this site without going into the Tamer Park or the other side of the park. So we are working on a very tight budget constraint and will deploy existing resources to enhance the site conditions so that they can be used for early public enjoyment. Otherwise, it will be a fenced off hydroseeded site. And the design will be relatively basic and facilities will be limited. And we will try to complete it in about 1 year's time because we use existing resources without the need to go into bidding of new resources. And that we will complete in Q3 or 4 of next year. And that's a very preliminary conceptual plan of that area F and G. On the left is the passive open space and on the right is it's a pet garden. And for other areas, as indicated, like B, C, H, and I, they will be remains to be the work sites for CEDD and highways for the WD2 works, as well as the central Pier 4 to 6, as well as the central Wan Chai bypass works. So we will regularly report the progress to Hong Kong Task Force after this meeting, and we will do a briefing to the Central and Western DC on the proposed temporary use of these sites. Thank you.
Thank you, Winnie. Challenge, I think, is managing expectations, but perhaps we can talk about that in a minute. Mrs. Lam, anything you want to add? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Since we have moved into the Tamer government complex, my office is overseeing the Central Harbour Front. And as a result, I get very worried about this beautiful Central Harbour Front, which the CEDD is about to finish and then hand over. So assuming that we have no plans and nothing is done, then what you will see, as you could visualize, is apart from this advanced promenade, which is this colored, bluish colored area, there will be several major harbourfront sites which will just be fenced off in the usual way, called the so-called unallocated government land, pending long-term use. So normally in terms of land control and administration, what will happen will be the lands department may receive applications from time to time to use the unallocated government land for events or functions, or we could offer a short-term tenancy through a bidding. In most cases, it will be car park, but certainly I don't think we dare to consider these sites for public car parks sort of situation. So I have called a few meetings with my relevant colleagues with the objective to make sure that pending the longer-term development of the new Central Harbour Front, we should try to reduce as much as possible the perception or the reality that these pieces of land are just lying idle. Because I think Hong Kong has enough of that with West Kowloon Cultural District and Kai Tak, sunbathing, whatever, for years. So it is crucially important for us to find uses, whether it is temporary or even ad hoc uses, to give people a chance to enjoy this beautiful harbour front. The reason why we could not do the permanent thing, as members will recollect, is all these debates that we have and discussions and deliberations on the PPEC, the public-private collaboration, which is difficult because of the very limited GFA. And as a result of that, internal deliberation suggested late last year that perhaps let's go for a harbourfront authority, and hence you have the FS making that very helpful statement in its February budget speech. I can tell you that that is the result of internal deliberations with the Treasury people. Since this site on its own is not going to be very viable commercially, you either will have to give a major grant to LCSD to develop another waterfront park, or you will have to do something like the heritage conservation, which is inviting partnering organizations, but with government picking up the capital cost, if not the recurring cost, because it could run on social enterprise with the shops and the F&Bs and so on. So at that point in time, the financial secretary was very sympathetic and said that since you are exploring the Harbourfront Authority, why don't you just continue to explore the Harbourfront Authority, and if ultimately this has the public support and the Legislative Council support, then we could go one stop into the Harbourfront Authority and don't have to consider interim arrangements like the revitalization scheme of heritage and things like that. So that is the background to the deliberations that have gone on about the management and design and operation of future harbourfront sites. But that will take time, because even setting up a statutory harbourfront authority will take us at least a year to 2 years from now. Okay, passing of a legislation, voting of funds, setting up of the people, employment of a bit of staff, and so on and so on. So when Winnie mentioned that perhaps we have a window of about 3 years, it is calculated on that sort of situation. Give ourselves a bit of leeway. Okay. So now the challenge before us is between now, when CEDD hands over the site, and the authority coming in to either develop on its own or find a partner to develop, we have about three, four years to look at it. So I have personally met with some of the biggest event organizer in Hong Kong, which has been doing all sorts of major events that you could think of in Hong Kong in the last few years. They express a keen interest in being made the sort of event operator of this site, even on a short-term basis. So 3 years probably will be doable from a commercial point of view, okay, as long as we give them advance notice that there is this 3 years duration, then they could line up events which could make money as well as events which do not make money for public use and so on. I have made it very clear that it has to go through a public competitive process, so it's not just handing over a site to a event organizer on short-term tenancy. So working back, we need to have a few months to do the tendering, especially it is going to be probably again on a two envelope. It's not just the lowest or the highest bid gets it type of situation. We will look at the content from the bidder, that's for example how much time and days they would set aside for public functions, what if there were no events, no fee paying events, what would then how can the public get access to the site. All those will be given marks in the assessment of the tenders. So then it means that we will have an imminent period of around 8-9 months, I suppose, from the middle of this year to the end of first quarter next year, assuming that the tender for this 3-year event organizer approach to manage the site would be available in the second quarter of next year, if members agree. I actually see very little alternative to that. We have to get one event organizer. The alternative will be every time an overseas or local firm or NGO who is interested will have to go through the lands department. And this is not going to work. I can assure you this is not going to work. You have to have one event organizer who could plan ahead, arrange and things like that, and invest in some of the things. They need to invest in making the site available. So between now and the coming on board of this event organizer approach in the second quarter of next year, we really have no other options but to continue to encourage people to use the site. So Winnie has mentioned that the first user will be the Hong Kong Philharmonic, which is good. That's Symphony Under the Stars, because they have no other place. They can't use West Kowloon, they can't use the Happy Valley Race Course because all sort of infrastructure was going on. And I hope that the members of Harbourfront Commission could also approach whatever organizations you know, you befriend and so on, and suggest that there is this site which could be made available for events, for fundraising, all sorts of things, arts, farmers market, things like that. I think we should try to, as much as possible, to make use of the site. And so far I've been talking about sites, area D and E. Okay. So that's it for D and E. Meanwhile, in order to defray the cost of the ad hoc temporary user, I have asked CEDD to do some works on sites D and E. But you have to appreciate that CEDD has a lot of constraints because they have to fund all these works out of their central reclamation phase 3. I have already stretched the scope of this project. The scope of this project is reclamation, but anything on the top side to beautify the area, we are now using this CR3 contract or the project vote. But they have very limited funds available for doing. So it will be very basic. Just to make sure that individual organizations coming in, they could still use the site because we have done something. CK can say something about the works that he has in mind. So don't expect there will be beautiful design, urban design, landscaping and things like that. We can't afford that. And the time does not allow us to really do that. We also don't want to really do the usual government fencing. So we'll see how we could at least make it more amenable and so on. Now coming back to the other side, because it's so close to the government headquarters and so on. So LCSD has kindly agreed to take over as a sort of temporary passive open space, which again we will have to put in some money in order to make it at least usable by members of the public. So by and large, apart from those areas which will have to be used as a work site for the Central Wanzai Bypass and the Wanzai Development 2, this scheme assures you that we are going to make use of all the available land for public enjoyment, albeit on a temporary basis, not on a permanent basis. Of course, including the blue part, which is for the Ferris wheel. That tender for STT will go out specifically for Ferris wheel because members agree, Central and Western District Council agrees that perhaps let's try to have one of those public facilities in this very nice location. And just to help you to visualize about the people flow and the attraction in this area, the Maritime Museum to be housed in Pier 8 is about to finish. They are actually moving the Stanley. So I expect a formal opening anytime in the first half of next year. Our City Gallery, which is next to City Hall, opposite Site D, is about to open. It's now undergoing some soft opening, and we expect maybe July, August it will be open. Okay, so by and large, we will be attracting people. There will be sort of destinations in this area that will attract people. So together with D&E, if D&E could offer a bit more, maybe, I don't know, F&B, open-air dining, or the organizer suggested to me something called pop-up restaurants, and which can change themes every month, Spanish to Italian to Cantonese cuisine, and that's all, that would be very interesting. So I hope that members will bear with us that is all we could do for the time being, pending the discussions and establishment of the authority and the longer-term arrangement. Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you. Members, I know it's the first time you've seen this. Interested to have immediate reactions. You know, we can leave it open for the rest of the week. If people have further thoughts, they can send notes into the Harbour Unit. Opportunity to be innovative, opportunity for us to be very creative, I think, with our ideas and thinking. Just one question, Mrs. Lamb. You're going to restrict the use of the blue site to Ferris wheel. You wouldn't consider some other form of attraction?
I thought the early idea of the whole organization has stimulated some excitement that people
But I think I've had a couple of people see me with other interesting attractions that could be sighted there.
I actually have no strong views. I don't know. Have we committed to it with the council, district council?
Or maybe they can submit an alternative non-conforming bid.
I thought it was a STT. It's not a processing of application. It's a STT. It's an open STT. Is that right?
It should go through an open tender process.
Okay.
So we need to decide whether it should be Ferris wheel or it's open. It's so open that it can be anything entertaining.
Well, just a thought. I wouldn't be too prescriptive, but I mean that's just a personal reaction. Members' reaction to what Mrs. Lamb has been telling us and what you see in front of you? Immediate reactions? Obviously not the long term. It's an expedient solution. Addressing the short term challenge. Please, Paul.
I think it's a good idea. I think we should try to keep all the site as open as possible and no perimeters, delineating C, F, E, D, A as much as possible. I'm not sure what we're going to do with site B. There's a lot of flow from the IFC into the area. So I think I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going to happen at C, the orange side. I'm not sure what's going to happen there either, which is kind of block off the flow from that corner, which is kind of an important flow. The south side of P2, between City Hall and P2, is a large, barren, open, rocky landscape, but could easily be used for temporary weekend markets. You've got a hard surface there and so on. But I'm not sure what the purpose is of the space that we do have. It's a big, wide and open. In terms of the servicing for D, F and G, I mean, if it's all grass and just big, wide and open grass, I mean, we're doing fine. People are going to be very happy there's going to be a massive open grass that people just can wander about. And then if we're going to have a flexible attitude about it, then, you know, the path will form where people walk. And then we can pave the path where people have formed the path by walking. You know, it's that kind of flexibility. Then we can be quite responsive and quite flexible. That will be feedback. I must say that when Tamar was up for grabs, and that happened, we went to see Lens Department to talk about the terms and conditions for the short-term tenancies to make sure you could have a situation where you have a temporary venue manager who then leases it out, the space out, so that the toilets are there, the ticketing office are there, the perimeter is there, the kiosks are there, and that there is a stage there that on Sunday mornings the Filipinas could use to have a church, and in the afternoon somebody could have a concert, but the venue manager then can actually generate money out of setting up a temporary venue that is flexible to set up and to maintain, but to reuse all the time. We looked at it for Tamar at the time, and we thought it was quite feasible, but then I think it went up for tender. Sino got it and leased it out for the fancy fair, which then stayed for about 3 months. And I think we probably were not too creative about the terms and conditions at that time, so we could do better than that maybe. But there is some experience with that. I think it's a good idea. But how are we going to manage it, and who's going to manage it? The harbour unit, they're already pretty stretched. So you know, the active management of all these facilities and keeping and being flexible. I'm not sure how you want to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for your understanding of the harbour unit's resources. Very, very limited. In fact, the reason why we want to have a 3-year STT to find a events or venue manager, whatever way you call it, is to relieve us from having to deal with all those applications day in, day out. But between now and the coming on board of this venue manager or event organizer, we will have to support Lens Department in considering applications like the Symphony Under the Stars and things like that. I do expect there will be some charitable groups who may, or even sports associations who may wish to use that site. We'll see what we could do. Coming back to your point about that site, this hard service area. You're referring to the area in front of the City Hall Gallery and by the P2. Is on the. Well, I have actually spotted that area and feel at the moment we are not optimizing the use of that area. It's just landscaping. It's some landscaping by CDD. So we have Architectural Services Department has put up a proposal that we will spend a bit more money to make it into a type of I don't call it, it's a piazza type in front of the City Gallery. But that will have to wait because we don't have the funding. We can't use a CR3 funding for that, and we don't have surplus funds from the City Gallery project, so we have to wait for internal allocation of resources. But I do agree that that particular area also has very good potential, especially when schools all the students are taken to visit the City Gallery. They need a bit more space to hang out in the open air and maybe to sit there to do drawing competitions and things like that. So we are trying to turn that rather passive landscape area into public open space that that we can use. Yeah. About how flexible our approach could be in managing these areas, we'll wait and see. I can't really say, because after all, they are still to be gazetted under the pleasure grounds, right, Bobby? Ah, the passive area will still have to be gazetted under the pleasure grounds ordinance.
Just a quick question. D&E, what would be the surface? Are we looking at grass or concrete or...
CK.
It will be a combination. It's difficult for us, given the constraints of money, to do all the turfing. Turfing is perfect, isn't it? It's very expensive. So what we'll be doing is some sort of hydroseeding, concrete surfacing, and maybe some grasscrete panels, but still yet to be designed.
Okay. Holistic approach, please. Holistic approach. Yeah. Please. Yeah.
I think if site D and E are going to be used for events, then there may be a need for a north-south connection for pedestrians. And right now, I think one one is beside IFC, and the other one is in the central government office. So either way would be a very long way. And one of the solutions may be to have bus stops at P2, but I'm not sure whether that's feasible.
I think there's crossing at grade, isn't it?
There's crossing at grade.
Yeah.
Supposed to be a pedestrian bridge by the side of the City Hall Gallery, and then cross the P2. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then landed at site D. Site D. But we have no programming for that. Yeah, that's a problem. But that's something for the Harbourfront Authority. Connectivity. I do agree.
I can
that
see
that
where the parcel is landing. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Please, yeah. Eric. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you, Chairman. Ms. Lam. I think hearing this is very positive. I just want to get a better understanding of the timing.
No.
I think that in terms of a lot of the associations, this will be a very popular area to hold events. But in terms of timing, I hear that getting in an operator is a good idea, but the timing of getting them in would be second quarter next year. So that means that for any large-scale tournaments to be held, we need at least about a year to plan.
Okay.
So if we're thinking of planning something in the third or fourth quarter next year, before you establish the operator, does that mean we will have to consult the Lands Department to talk about this potential tournament? And secondly, once the operator comes in, do they have the discretion of choosing who comes in or not? Because they will have their program. And if other association or NGO wants to come in, do they have the full discretion of choosing who to come in?
That's a tricky issue because this is to the commercial sector. This is an investment.
Right.
They are not doing it just for public good. So we have to make sure that the STT on a three-year basis is viable.
Right.
In fact, they told me they need to put in quite a bit of investment to make the site workable. So the intention is within the STT period, the events organizer will be given a free hand to arrange their own events. So we could not then arbitrarily say that, oh, during this week or this month, you have to give it to so-and-so.
Sure.
But of course, if there are major events, and I look to Philip, if there are major tourism events that we could already anticipate, then we could write in the tender that for every November this week, it will be wine and dine. Now you have to work with the wine and dine people to put there, or if it is a Dragon Boat Festival or what, and so on and so on. I don't know what tournament you have in mind, Eric, but if it is of that sort of significance, and if the relevant policy bureau supports, for example, Home Affairs,
right,
then we could write it into the tender document, so they know that for certain times in the year they don't have a free hand.
Sure.
So they will plan around those events.
Well, you could say up to so many days a year have to be allocated to community type events. It's what we've done elsewhere.
Yes.
Have a cap. Yeah.
Yes.
And then
yes.
In their bid, they build that in.
Yes. Yes.
My last question would be when people are hosting tournaments or events, they look at accessibility and also the supporting units, for example, the kind of accessibility in toilets and all these facilities. So normally in environments where LCSD is running, they already have all these facilities. So in this event, would that be invested by the operator when after they come in? So before they come in or once they come in, it will still be a relatively a piece of land that is doesn't have a lot of facilities, supporting facilities. Would it be wrong to say that?
Do we have the basic things ready, CK?
There will be some very basic ones. Okay. Toilets. I have to check about the.
I think there are some toilets.
There will be some toilets.
Water service and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. The whole thing is not yet designed, especially for F&G. So, within our constraint, we'll do as much as we can. Sorry? Power? Well, obviously, we have to have power, otherwise.
Power.
Yeah. Chairman, regarding Site A, you asked the question whether we should go for a Ferris wheel or an open tender. Personally, I don't think the Ferris wheel is the best. This is the best location. When it was first presented to us, then I still hold the same view. So if it is an open tender for whatever is best in this location, I wouldn't mind. The second point I'd like to make is regarding P2 road, the strip remaining spaces there, perhaps we don't have to do too much, but can we leave some space for display of public art? And we have local artists here, and they do need some place to show their work.
Okay, thank you. Peter?
I certainly support the proposals. I think they're very far-sighted. I think that having one event organizer is absolutely necessary, potentially very exciting. I think, you know, obviously cultural, entertainment, recreational facilities really need to be encouraged here. One possibility, again, if we're throwing these out into the arena, is a sort of fairground for the facility that used to be on Tamar there successfully for several months. I think also a key word here is innovation, perhaps innovation within certain budget restrictions. But I think anyone who visited the Shanghai Expo, for example, that only lasted for 6 months, would have been struck by the very interesting and adaptable spaces and facilities, the cafes and, you know, a lot of the sort of minor infrastructure, toilets, etc. We might be able to learn something from West Kowloon, who of course are also, you know, considering certain temporary facilities along the waterfront. I did wonder whether in fact we could get our joint professional institutes really together to put together some ideas for this over the next few months.
Thank you. Fine. Any final comments? All right. Well, could I encourage you over the next few days, if you have any ideas, thoughts, particularly on, as Peter said, thinking innovatively, thinking creatively of what we might do, please let the Harbour Unit have them. But Mrs. Lamb, I think support all round.
Okay.
Good. Thank you. All right. Moving on then, if we may, to tidying up the matters arising, paragraph 3.3, Fenwick Pier, we visited Fenwick Pier, and then we discussed the case at the 9th meeting of the task force on the 10th of May. Interesting case. We felt, I think, a great deal of sympathy for the proponents, and I think the message that we conveyed to them was that, you know, that we would support them in terms of their way forward and convey those views to the Town Planning Board. New planning and infrastructure gallery at City Hall. Visit planned for mid to late June. Exact date to be confirmed. Invitation will come out from the Secretariat shortly. Paragraph 7.9 of the previous minutes. Supplementary note on the size of harbourfront venues and facilities that are managed by LCSD was circulated to members on the 22nd of May. That was a request for further and better information. And then finally, paragraph 9.1, Mrs. Lamb and team visited, Mrs. Lamb led a delegation to Auckland to the Sea Edge Symposium on the 28th and 29th. I think Winnie just want to brief us quickly on that particular initiative.
Thank you, Chairman. It will be a 2 minutes report. Mrs. Lam said a delegation to New Zealand and in March to attend the CH Symposium for Waterfront Development Leaders. That's an inaugural symposium for waterfront development leaders and is attended by 10 waterfront cities and is organized by the Auckland Council and the Waterfront Auckland to exchange ideas and share experience on waterfront development. And that's a one and a half day program which the cities, waterfront cities showcase their own projects as well as to discuss about the common interests on the on various developments on the waterfront. And that the organizer is in fact finalizing his website for public viewing, and that contains all the details of the symposium as well as the summary of the discussion and all those city dossiers and presentations. So once it's ready, I will share with members on the website, and you can have take a look at that yourself. So in the interim of the visit, we have visited the Wynyard Quarter, which the event was held, and we saw the stage one Wynyard Quarter project. That is a 500 meter of new places and open spaces right next to the water edge in Auckland for public to enjoy. So that's what we have visited. And we also had a dinner at the Cloud, which is a multi-purpose event venue, which located at the waterfront, which is a pretty interesting event venue. And that's one of the centerpieces of the hospitality for the party zone facilities for the Rugby World Cup Club in 2011. And I've also taken the opportunity to visit the West Haven Marina, which is operated by Waterfront Auckland. And it's one of the largest marina in the Southern Hemisphere with 1,700 berths and moorings. So I will share more information with the Waterland Interface Task Force when we discuss more about the marinas. So that's all I want to report, Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you, Winnie. All right, members, we'll access the website in due course. Looks to be a wealth of information, I think.
Can I just add a couple of observations? First is, I think the city of Auckland has really done some marvelous things, because I was in Auckland 2 years ago, May 2010, on an official program, and so I went back exactly 2 years this time, and they have really done a lot in a period of 2 years, which was very remarkable. And they told me that much of it was also driven by this major event, which is the World Rugby. As a result of preparing for the World Rugby, they have accelerated their waterfront enhancement projects and also put in that supposed to be temporary facility, the Cloud, which is a wonderful facility by the harbour front. Although originally it was temporary, now they are going to make use for it as long as possible, because it provides a very good waterfront venue for events, for F&Bs and so on. And thirdly, is the mayor of Auckland is in fact very keen to sustain this sort of waterfront cities network. This time around, they have 10 very strong cities like San Francisco, Cape Town and Hamburg and so on. I have to be very honest with you. I told the mayor that if not because of my term coming to an end, I would be, and assuming I still have 3-4 years in this job, I will quite happily raise my hand to host the next CH symposium in Hong Kong, because I think it brings in a lot of wisdom, sharing of experience, and also a lot of things that we could show to our counterparts all over the world. Perhaps this is something that the Harbourfront Commission can also bear in mind, that we already have this network of waterfront cities, and if at a certain point in time we are ready, I think Hong Kong should ask to host this event, because our Victoria Harbour is of course much admired by all these other city leaders with the Harbourfront. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we'd welcome the challenge, wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Just before we move on to the discuss the Harbourfront Authority, I'm conscious that Mrs. Lam may have to leave before we finish the discussion. We visited recently the Yacht Club as part of a waterfront visit, and the Yacht Club raised with us their interest to become involved in the planning and design, if you like, of not just their own club facilities, but a large area of waterfront. And I think they've had a dialogue with Mrs. Lamb, and I think you might want just to mention that to the members.
My attention has been drawn to this conceptual proposal from the Royal Hong Kong Yacht Club. Having gone through the experience with the central harbour front, I think we must not miss the opportunity of the Wan Chai waterfront. Although it now appears to be years down the road, but time really flies. The site would all be ready by 2017, okay, when the Central Wan Chai bypass is completed. Then we will have another major harbourfront site in terms of the WD2, okay. And of course, we have promised the public that this again will be vibrant and things like that. So I would suggest that perhaps the Harbourfront Commission needs to start some thinking on this so as to avoid having to go through the same trauma like Central, which we need to go into temporary use, short-term use, and then permanent use. And the Wan Chai Basin is an area that we have looked at previously with the Fenwick Pier, when at a point in time they need to be relocated. The Wan Chai Basin has been identified as a possible area, and in fact the Fenwick Pier has also, with Ada's help, has drawn up some proposals for that area. So I don't have any particular idea yet, except to just want to make sure that the timing is managed better, I hope, so that by the time the infrastructure works are finished, then we already have a plan, or even a developer, whether it is a government party or the Harbourfront Commission, to look at that. And of course, because the Wan Chai development too goes all the way into Causeway Bay, and there's a lot of potential, even because we have been discussing with some developers in that area to improve the the north-south access and connectivity. At the moment, is just through that underground tunnel into Noon Skun, which is very, very unsatisfactory. So there were quite a few things happening because we are in a better position to know the district-based planning. So what I was just suggest, I just float this idea maybe after next meeting, because the chairman has asked for the Royal Hong Kong Yacht Club to come to the main Harbourfront Commission to do a presentation at the next meeting. After the next meeting, what the commission could then discuss is whether it should commission a study on that whole area. Of course, prompted by this future Wan Chai Harbourfront. How we could improve connectivity to do it in an integrated manner, and so on. In the same way that Planning Department has just finished this Hong Kong Island East. It actually stopped at the beginning of this WD2. So we have done the central part, we have done the Hong Kong Island East. There is in fact this strip which no works has done. So it is very, very worthwhile of a study with full public participation. To discuss now that we have time, we have 3, 4, 5 years. So I think that would be a very exciting endeavor, at least to keep this subject very alive. And because Causeway Bay and Wan Chai are going to be more and more important in city planning terms, we can start to find the money for the study. But the point is, again, whether it should be managed by the harbour unit, which is very overstretched, or I look to Jimmy, whether the planning department could also help to manage a study, very much with the steer from this commission. But the commission itself cannot engage a study. That's a problem, because you don't have the executive powers. You still need a government department to be the agent to procure the service and to monitor and to make sure money is well spent and so on.
Peter? Quick comment.
Yes, well, can I just make the point? I quite agree that this area, Wan Chai, really should be studied. I think we probably all agree on that. Just to sort of stress the point that the Yacht Club stated that they could and would be willing to manage mooring sites in other parts of the harbour, such as Kowloon East, for example. I was quite surprised that they astonishingly have only a little bit over 100 berths at the moment. Interesting that Auckland has 1,700. So, you know, I think, again, we could be quite adventurous,
more
really,
ambitious.
In terms of what we could be putting in the harbour in terms of moorings.
Thank you. Thank you. Quick one, Paul.
The CES conference, if we do it in 2014, then it's 10 years after the previous conference on designing the waterfront, which was in 2004. So we should at least do it before 2014, or if not, the latest 2014. The Wanshai Basin, I think it's a good idea to get it studied on soon. I think there are some aspects that might actually have an engineering impact, where we could immediately pick things up that can still put into possibly variations of existing projects. But I think we should be open-minded to it and pick up on these things. There is some hardware to be sorted out quickly. On your point, 7.9, Chairman, on the LCSD venues, there are in fact 56 venues, which is more than LCSD's highlighted. Those are the venues that also include some cultural sports and the beach venues. And those venues overall, in general, should actually be well considered because they include the utilities and the services which allow surrounding these venues outdoor F&B and dining and other activities, and they have toilets built into them and so on. So I think we should not ignore those venues in terms of opportunities for harbourfront enhancement. So I think in terms of considering the lists, we should list the full list and not just the short list there. On the issue of the landings, the Fenwick Pier, I'm not sure that we are improving our ability to receive with proper honour the foreign navies landing in Hong Kong by having a site somewhere hinterland, and we don't have a proper landing step, and we're going to remove the pontoon, and you know, I think we should give more consideration to provide a proper facility for the landing of foreign navy rather than just sticking to the site, which is then become a hinterland site. I'm not sure that we're doing the right thing for receiving foreign navies. Should they take over Site 8? Should we, if they keep the back hinterland, should we on the front of the water, should we have a proper reception, a pier, not just a landing step, which is the ugliest and cheapest possible way to get people on the ground without any mitigation of waves? So I think we should look a bit more into what we're going to do rather than the... I know it's been difficult to sort things out with Fenwick, but I think we should look at it overall from Hong Kong's ability to receive foreign navies in an appropriate manner. I think we should take a broader view on this.
Well, those are very much the views we expressed to the Town Planning Board and to government. Thank you. Anything on Fenwick you want to anything mention?
We have been helping the Fenwick Pier for a few years now, and in the process, because they sit on a site which is supposed to be open space, so for a while we have been helping to do site search, and came to the conclusion there isn't another site, because the pier is not just a pier. The pier is business to Wanshai. All these tailor shops, bars, and things like that. So we have actually thought of putting it to Kennedy Town and things like that. So I can assure you that at least the Development Bureau is very sympathetic to Fenwick Pier, because I personally believe that they are doing a service for Hong Kong for this receiving navies. But there are limitations. And because the Americans are the major users, so the Consul General is personally involved, and I think so far they are content with this arrangement. In any case, they have to come in all this for the taxis. The question is whether just landing steps or have another Marine Department pontoon. And they have also put aside a so-called security concern. At the beginning, they want all these security concerns and fence off their assets. I said, no way, this is public open space. And so I don't want to reopen this very difficult discussion. The question now in front of us is to facilitate the rezoning to accommodate on a permanent basis the Fenwick Pier, and since it would then become a permanent part of the waterfront, to improve its public accessibility. When navies are not coming in, I'm sure a lot of members of public could actually use the facilities in the pier, the restaurants and the shops and so on. Not easy. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Members, I think I'd like to move on, if you don't mind.